You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
In today's show, we're getting an inside look at two of the best Texans undrafted free agents. And we're going to do it with somebody who covered both of them for the University of Pittsburgh. Hello, everyone. I'm Robert Land from the Houston Sports Talk Podcast, alongside my partner and co-host Brian Patterson from House of Houston. And welcome to Locked On Texans, your best daily source of Texans news, views, and interviews. We're part of the FanRag Sports Network. And if you're joining us for the first time, welcome aboard. Joining us now is Jim Hammett, who covers the Pitt Panthers for Rivals at PantherLayer.com. We loved his insight last year when we thought the Texans maybe could draft QB Nathan Peterman when they were looking for somebody. Peterman was a middle-round guy from the 2017 draft. And Jim, thanks for doing this again, and welcome back aboard to Locked On Texans.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure to join you guys.
Let me start with what looks to be the most remarkable story of any of the undrafted free agents among the Texans this year, and that's offensive tackle Jared Jones-Smith. For those who don't know much about him, what's his story?
Yeah, Jared Jones-Smith is, he's from Philadelphia, and, you know, the first thing you notice with him is his size. He's listed at 6'7", 330 pounds, and he's just a presence. He played three different years at Pitt, and, you know, in the middle of his sophomore year heading into his sophomore season, he sustained a pretty catastrophic injury. It was a knee injury, and for a guy that big, 6'7", 335 pounds, he almost lost his leg. He almost lost his life. It's pretty remarkable that he was able to return and, you know, even start playing football again.
What was that comeback like for him? Because from what we understand, he ripped multiple ligaments and his tibia bone twisted to put pressure on an artery. The medical staff, from what I understand, had to come in and rescue him. And if it wasn't for their quick action, he would have lost a leg, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was that serious. And, you know, you don't really think about that, like in a football injury that, you know, a guy could lose his leg. But that's exactly what happened. So, he missed all of the 2015 season. He came back to the 2016 season, and he didn't play much. Pitt actually had a really good offense that year. They had a lot of good offensive linemen, Brian O'Neill, Adam Biznavati, Dorian Johnson. Those are three guys that have been drafted. So he was kind of had to wait his turn, and he was finally able to get back into game action this year. And he started most of the season for Pitt at right tackle.
What are his best attributes as a tackle? What's going to make him, do you think, possibly excel at the next level?
I mean, I think most of his attributes, his big thing is just the athleticism, the size. His wingspan is huge. He's just big to get around, long arms. I mean, I think he needs to work on his quickness. I mean, early in his career, he was someone I thought could get drafted because he started playing as a redshirt freshman and he was big and he was doing well. And, you know, he paved the way for some pretty successful running backs at Pitt, like, James Conner. So I thought he had a future as, you know, maybe a fourth, fifth round draft pick. But I think the injury kind of slowed him up a little bit. He's not as quick. And I think he's going to struggle with, fast defensive ends. But again, the size is there, the wingspan's there. So there's something to work with. So I think that's all you're really looking for in an undrafted free agent is someone that has a few things that, you know, might be able to work out for you.
His strength, would you call it, he's more of a run blocker, a pass blocker? What kind of stuff that does he do well? And then you think he's going to struggle with faster defenders, you said?
You know, just looking at how Pitt operated the past few years, he's more successful as a run blocker. I mean, Pitt doesn't throw the ball a ton. They had Nate Peterman. They just weren't a big time passing team, but they have been a big time rushing team. James Conner had some big years. So I think the strength of all the Pitt linemen recently that have been drafted, is run blocking. So I have concerns with him, you know, if he were ever in a situation to deal with, fast defensive ends.
Brian, tell him the one word that he's got to have if he wants to be a Texan. What's the key word for every Bill O'Brien and Brian Gain guy?
The theme this season, and it's going to be the theme throughout the Brian Gain era. It's going to be stronger, longer, and faster. So you got to remember that.
No, you forgot the other. You forgot. No, the key word is versatility.
Versatility. Versatility.
Is he versatile? That's the key. That's what the thing that we're interested in. Can he play multiple positions, Jim? What is he as an offensive lineman? Is he mostly a tackle, or has he played guard and some other positions along the line?
Pitt's primarily used him as a tackle, because I think in the college game you see a lot more pulling and that kind of thing, and I don't think you're really going to pull with a 6'7", 335-pound kid. As far as, you know, I think he'll play right tackle in the NFL. He did come up as a freshman and played left tackle, but I don't think he's the kind of kid you're going to trust, you know, protecting the blind side of a quarterback. But, I mean, I think he's pretty much a right tackle only, I would say.
And do you know much else about him personally? We know, I think, another part of this story that we've read about is that his father had a brain tumor and passed away right before he went to Pitt, I think, in 2012. So from what we understand, you know, not only, you know, nearly losing the loss of his leg, but, you know, what he went through with his father at such a young age. I mean, this is somebody that's had to grow up really fast. He's gone through a lot. So the NFL experience is going to be difficult for most people, but this is somebody that's had to mature really quickly.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's, a lot of guys have to deal with a lot of things, but, you know, it's just so unique that you could lose your leg on a football leg injury like that. I mean, it's just very, it's very uncommon. So I think that really humbled him. It kind of, you know, made him appreciate the little things a little bit more. So I think he's a great value as an undrafted free agent. I think he's one of the more intriguing ones out there in the whole league.
Yeah, as far as his abilities with run blocking, you know, we talked about that, but he has been heralded as a good protector of the screen pass. Like if Deshaun were to run those types of plays, do you think he would be successful there?
Yeah, he could be. If you're familiar at all with Pitt in the past couple of years, their offense has kind of, when I watched the Kansas City Chiefs with Tyreek Hill and Alex Smith, I think when Pitt was at their best, that's kind of the offense they ran. They had Quadri Henderson. He was, a little gadget receiver. They did a lot of things like that with him. Nate Peterman, as you know, you've probably seen him play in the NFL a little bit. He's not a big stand-in-the-pocket passer, but he's not really a mobile guy. So they kind of roll him out, and they do screens. They do bubble screens, things like that. So he's familiar with all that kind of stuff. So I think he should be able to, make that transition to the NFL because, he's very familiar with it.
You see him as a guy that it's going to take him a while to get to learn this system, or is he a quick learner? Is he a guy that's able to soak in the information quickly and do whatever he's asked to do?
Yeah, I mean, I think his physical ability got him on the field early. He redshirted, which I think is pretty common with most offensive linemen at the college level, but he was on the field for all 13 games as a, you know, as a redshirt freshman. He drew some starting assignments, so he was trusted, to play early on in his career. And, you know, the thing with Pitt is he was recruited by Paul Christ, who since went to Wisconsin. He's played for Pat Narduzzi, who's had multiple offensive coordinators. So, you know, things have changed a lot at Pitt, even though he's been at one school. He's played for, a number of different offensive line coaches, a couple different offensive coordinators, a couple different head coaches. So I don't think, quick transitions and learning things are, I think almost all Pitt players should be used to it by now.
And could you talk a little bit about his injury? Because the stories are different as far as how exactly it happened. He was walking from practice and all of a sudden his leg gave out, or how did he notice that something was wrong at that point, if you have any information on that? Because when I was reading his story, that was one thing I couldn't understand. When did this exactly happen on that practice? Was it after, before, during? Did he know something was wrong? You know, what's the situation there?
Yeah, it was during an off-season workout. So it was somewhere in between spring practice and somewhere, before fall practice. So it was kind of a weird thing because I don't think a lot of guys were on campus at that point or working out. So it was kind of a mysterious injury, but it took his toll on him. And like you said, his father passed away young, and I think he leaned on his mom a lot, and she really helped him get through it. I think he struggled with, self-doubt of ever being able to get back on the field, and I think she really pushed him. And, like I said, to even come back, but, he started 9 games this year, so I think that's a testament to, overcoming something like that.
Yeah, and she did not. She didn't know if she was going to have children, and he is her only child. So, you know, that's just inspiration right there. I mean, just an incredible story.
Yeah, yeah. I've been to some of the games, and you know, his mom is very, very noticeable. You know, she'll be walking through the tailgates, and she has a big number 75 jersey on. So, you know, she drives in from Philly to Pittsburgh for every game. That's, you know, 5 hours. So she's there every Saturday. So that's I think. He's very tight with her, and I think she has helped a lot in his career.
All right, you got one other guy that's a great story as well that's in Texans camp. And before I get to him, I just want to remind everybody, if you're enjoying Locked On Texans, do us a favor. Tell your friends. Let them know they can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Megaphone, Podchaser, TuneIn, Spotify. I could go on and on, but plenty of ways for you to listen to the show. And if you'd like to check out more Locked On content in our network, go to LockedOnSports.com. It's our brand new Locked On Network website, all the teams from all the different sports, NFL, NBA, Major League Baseball. We got a podcast for everyone, some great content, some writing as well. Again, that's LockedOnSports.com. All right, well, let's get to, there's another guy that you've got, Jim, and it's Jester Weah. Am I pronouncing that right, the wide receiver?
Jester Weah.
Weah, Jester Weah. Okay, so it's W-E-A-H. He's 190 pounds, about 6'3". But from what we understand, the big thing is he's very, very fast, Jim. He's fast.
Yeah, he's very fast and very athletic, and that's always been the book on him. You know, coming out of high school, he was a state sprinting champ in the state of Wisconsin. He came to Pitt under Paul Christ, and, you know, it took him a while to get acclimated. And the big thing with him is, you know, his hands. There are so many times everyone would say in practice, and, you know, you would see him in the spring game, he looked the part. He looked like an NFL wide receiver. You know, he's fast, he's big, he's strong, but it took him a while to kind of put it all together mentally and make plays on the field. But he finally did as a junior, and he did in a big way.
Do you think if he had picked it up a little bit faster, he would have got drafted? Because looking at the board, I think I checked on NFL.com. They had him as one of the top five undrafted wide receivers, you know, once the seven rounds were over with.
Yeah, I think there was a chance he could have got drafted, you know, based off of this season. I think what hurt him was Pitt had a very unstable quarterback situation this year, and that really hurt his production. He had more catches than he did as his junior year, but his touchdowns were down, his average was down. He just didn't show the explosiveness he did as a junior. But I also do think if he would have, you know, made some plays as a sophomore, you know, it's like whenever he came onto the scene as a junior, that was the first time he ever really played. He was non-existent as a freshman and sophomore.
What are his strengths as a receiver? We're talking about speed, route running. What kind of things does he do well? How are his hands? I'm sure that's another thing that most NFL teams want to know immediately.
Yeah, I mean, physical attributes, they're 100% there. You know, he made a lot of big plays. And, he seems to have a knack for making spectacular catches, but then he'll drop one right in his bread basket that's pretty easy. So I think hands are his biggest concern. But, you know, I think he can run routes. I think he's fast. I think he's athletic. And, you know, he's made big plays before, but I just think the consistency of his hands is, you know, probably what held him back a little bit.
Yeah, it's a 4.43 40 with a 38-inch vertical. Athleticism, again, off the charts. And he comes from an athletic family, doesn't he, Jim? From what we understand, he's the nephew of a soccer star.
Yeah, his uncle is George Weah, who is the FIFA World Player of the Year in Liberia. So, I mean, he comes from an athletic family. And, you know, even right now, one of his cousins is one of the top running back recruits in the country in the high school ranks. So, you know, there he's just has a very athletic family. So he has that going for him for sure.
The situation with Jester, and as far as him being a threat, I'm talking about the deep ball, because we want guys that can go deep. He was pretty deep back in 2016. He caught 47.4% of deep ball passes. But now, you know, as we go into last season, 25.6% of the deep passes were caught by him. Do you attribute that to the quarterback play, as you mentioned, or do you think that he still has that potential? It's just all a matter of having the right quarterback thrown to him, and definitely he will. There's no doubt about it. But what do you think there? Do you think he still can be a deep ball threat in the NFL?
I do. I really do think quarterback held him up last year. 2 years ago in 2016, he was second in the nation in yards per catch with 24.2 yards per catch. He had 10 touchdowns, and that was playing with Nate Peterman, who, you know, might not be the greatest NFL quarterback, but was a really good college quarterback and the type of guy that was, you know, able to get drafted. This past season, Pitt had three different starting quarterbacks. The one, you know, he got injured early on. The next one wasn't much of a passer, and I think, you know, a lot of those deep passes, he had to come back and make plays on the ball rather than, you know, just being led for a touchdown. So I think it took him a while. I think if you look in, you know, Pitt's last two games of the year, Pitt finally gave the ball to their freshman quarterback, Kenny Pickett, and, you know, they nearly upset Virginia Tech on the road, and they were able to upset Miami at home, who was number two in the country. And we have made a lot of big plays in those games. So I think just, you know, quarterback play alone is a big part of his game.
One thing that I haven't read too much about with Jester is special teams, and really as somebody that's coming in as an undrafted guy, that's a way he can definitely make his mark. If you're going to be sort of at the back end of a roster, especially the Texans who've needed better special teams play, that's where he can stick out and maybe do something. What is his ability there? Did he play much special teams at Pitt?
During his time at Pitt, Pitt had an All-American return specialist, Quadri Henderson. He was a consensus All-American in 2016. He was a big player this past season. So pretty much all the return duties were held to him. As far as going down, and, you know, he never played any other special teams, but I don't see him as much of a returner. He never really carried the ball at Pitt on reverses or anything. He never really did anything, in the return game. So he's never really shown that. But he is very fast. So, you know, in the NFL, sometimes on a kickoff return, just straightaway speed might be the best way to go.
Yeah, and they're also going to need somebody in coverage, too. And that's something that I'm sure he might get a little work under fire in that area, I'm guessing.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, he has the speed to just run down and, you know, make a tackle, make a play. So if he's looking to catch on a roster, I mean, that's going to be his role early on in his career.
How about when he's contested, you know, whenever, you know, he's harassed a bit out on the field? Now, how does he respond to that? I mean, because, you know, to be successful in the NFL, you know, when a pressure's put on you, you're going to have to still be able to catch the ball. How about that? How did he respond to that at Pitt? And did he get a lot of opportunities to where that would happen? He was able to get out of them.
Yeah, I mean, he did draw a lot of attention. He was Pitt's top receiver. And Pitt's offense in 2016 was actually really good. And, he got a lot of the attention. But there were times where he would disappear. I mean, it was definitely, when they went down to Clemson 2 years ago and they actually beat Clemson, he made a couple nice plays. But at the same time, Clemson, I think probably almost everyone on that defense went to the NFL or is going to the NFL. So that was a tough draw for him. But he still made a few plays, but he definitely can disappear. And like I said, with this past year, with the three different quarterbacks, there'd be times where you would even wonder where he is.
Well, I want to ask you just a couple more questions, but I want to remind everybody really quickly that if you haven't already, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, email us at lockedontexans@mail.com. If you forget any of that, it's all in the show description of each podcast. So you can go there, find all the information. And if you're a fan of Locked On Texans, hey, email us a question or record a message, maybe using the voice memo on your phone. You can email that same address, lockedontexans@mail.com. That's lockedontexans@mail.com, and we'll use it on the show. Well, a couple of last questions for you, Jim. Just when you look at these two guys, Jared Jones-Smith and Jester, and I'm going to screw it up again probably, but Wea, is that it? Wea, I'm going to have to get this thing right.
Wea.
I got to get this right. Jared Jones-Smith and Jester Wea, let me ask you, which one of those guys would you put money on? Do you think they could really make a splash and surprise some people? Because I think the one that really, you know, has us intrigued is Jones-Smith, because the Texans have huge openings in the offensive line. I'm sure you've heard it's bad here. It's pretty bad. And there's going to be some chances for a lot of people to maybe surprise somebody. Some of the guys that they've had in camp before are going to be back, but they're looking for starters at every position and nothing set, maybe outside of center with Nick Martin. So as far as the two guys, it does look like for us, Jared is the guy to watch out for. Is that the way you see it?
I'd actually go with Jester Weah because I just think he has all the attributes you would want. That speed is off the charts. You know, the athleticism's there. And, he performed with a good quarterback. And, you know, I think the Texans have one of the best young quarterbacks in the league. But I agree with you to an extent on Jonnu Smith. You know, everything's there. I mean, he's big. You know, he's experienced. And I think he's the type of player that I think more can be unlocked from him in the NFL than maybe so more so than in college. So I think there's a lot of potential there for both of them. But if I were to bet on it, I would expect Weah to, you know, stick in the NFL a little bit longer.
With George Weah, his famous uncle and whatnot, during his career at Pitt, and I tried my utmost to, you know, follow Pitt and what they were doing, but was he there at any of the games? And, like, if he does rise up in the depth chart here, I mean, are we going to have to make special arrangements for the president of Liberia to to have special security to come watch him play? Or, you know, how involved was he, you know, with his pro football career? Was he seen a lot, or was he just busy doing his own thing?
Yeah, he wasn't really around. So, you know, it was kind of a, you know, quiet career for Jester. I mean, you know, you wouldn't know that his uncle was famous or president and all these kinds of things. So, you know, he probably wouldn't even bring it up to you. So, I mean, I think that's how he kind of views it. He's his own man. So,
and everybody's probably going, where's Liberia? I'm sure that's not on most people's radar anyway. Hey, well, Jim, thanks for doing this. Tell people how they can keep up with what's going on with Pitt if people want to follow, because it seems like every couple of years we get a Pitt Panther player or two come through here. Of course, Tom Savage just made his way here, and I guess you guys are now following the Saints a little bit with what's going on with him.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, there's NFL Panthers all over the place. You know, I think Aaron Donald's the biggest one right now. Everyone's kind of been watching, but yeah, you can check our website out. It's Panther Lair. It's pittsburgh.rivals.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Hammett. Yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it. I mean, there's always something to talk about.
It's always fun to get a chance to talk to you, and we're hoping one of those guys will surprise. It's always good to have as much talent in Texans camp as possible. Guys competing for position, guys that we hope that can make an impact somehow. Don't forget, Brian's got everything covered on House of Houston. Rockets, Astros, Texans. It's a fan site affiliate. It's houseofhouston.com. My Houston Sports Talk podcast, easy to find on iTunes, our free app in the Google Play Store for you Android users. We cover all the Houston sports over there as well. When you're done listening to today's Locked On Texans, don't forget, take a few seconds, rate us on iTunes. Let us know what you think, what you might suggest. We're going to definitely take it all to heart. That's all we've got for this one. As always, thanks for making us a part of your week.
You are Locked On Texans, your daily Houston Texans podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.